Our first reading today comes from Isaiah 43rd chapter. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, but consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, so they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel this fifth Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This Lenten journey kind of goes on, doesn't it? You know, there are weeks where, after all the meetings and extra services and all the other extra things, personally, I feel kind of worn down. Add in a time change where we lose about an hour of sleep, and fatigue begins to set in. Sometimes it's hard to really push ahead in life. Sometimes it's hard to connect with a word of salvation as we anticipate what is to come in the weeks ahead. Now remember, it was just a little over a month ago that I was telling you all that you were dust, and to dust you would return. And in another week, we'll be reveling in Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem, but we revel with an eye toward what comes next, what is foreshadowed in our gospel text today, Jesus' betrayal and death on a cross. Mortality is high on the mind. We are constantly cognizant of our own limitations. And into this moment, we enter into Scripture. And we don't just enter into Scripture, however. We enter into the stories behind the Scripture. Whenever we come to the sacred texts we encounter here, we know that there is always a little bit more to the story. And sometimes we find that the perspective we gain on those forefathers of faith helps us as we travel on our own Christian journey. Now I invite you all to hear again some of the words from the prophet Isaiah we heard this morning. "Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Isaiah is speaking words of hope to a people that are scarred, beaten, broken. The Hebrew people that Isaiah speaks to in our first reading today are a people that have been in exile for a generation. They know in intimate detail the fact that they are all dust. They know that the cumulative worth of the generations that have come before them has turned to dust in their being carried off into exile. And now Isaiah tells them to forget the past. Do not remember the former things. God is about to do something new. Their exile is coming to an end. A way is being made in the wilderness. God will provide drink in the wilderness so that God's chosen people might yet praise that name. Long story short, for the Hebrew people now living in exile, there will be a restoration. God will do something new among them. Jerusalem will be restored and the temple rebuilt. But if the Hebrew people are only interested in the way things were, if they only compare the temple that they will build upon their return to the temple of old, then there really is no hope. It seems that what they have built is nothing but dust, for the greatness of the past cannot be repeated. You see, when these Hebrews were forced to leave Jerusalem, one of the last things that they probably saw was the temple that was built by Solomon being slowly torn down. There would be nothing left. For those few people in exile who could remember the old temple, when they returned to Jerusalem to rebuild, nothing can possibly replace the greatness of the way that things were. So the Lord tells them, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing." I think we all fall into this trap occasionally. We remember the things of old, and we remember how much better things were when we were young. Or we remember how much better things were when, and this is just throwing things out there, not necessarily a specific point of when things were better, but things that I have heard in my life. Things were so much better when Reagan was president, or when Clinton was president. Things were so much better when women could stay at home and be parents while the husband were the sole breadwinners in the household. Things were so much better when there were more seats filled in our sanctuary. Getting close to home on some of these. Things were so much better when. It could go on, couldn't it? We could have a lot of those things were so much better when. We can always look back and see when things were better. But were they? Were they really better? Or do we simply recall what we thought was good about those things and forget the things that weren't as good about those things? The Hebrew people thought they knew what good was. Good was the way things were. Good was when they had some glory to their names, when the walls of the temple were gilded in bronze and silver. It is reported in the book of Ezra that when the foundations of the new temple were built, the old men who could remember the temple of old wept for sorrow at what they had lost. And yet God tells the Hebrew people and us through Scripture today, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Yes, we may look back on the past and see that it has turned to dust. But there is still water to quench our thirst found in this wilderness journey that we find ourselves on. Yes, the past may seem to have been bright and hopeful, but now we are in a presence where God, who does not abandon us in the wilderness, is doing something new. So how do we, who are aware of our own mortality, who know that we are dust, participate in this new thing? How do we celebrate with joy here at Messiah when we do remember the former things, when there were maybe 20 more people in our pews, when we didn't have to worry about things like our long-term future? It's not always easy. But there are still things to celebrate here, much like there was still much to celebrate in the rebuilding of a temple that was smaller and more humble than the previous temple in Jerusalem. For the Hebrews, even a smaller temple meant freedom to worship their God. It meant hope for restoration and rebuilding their lives. It was proof that God had not abandoned them entirely. we can still celebrate here at Messiah. We celebrate because we see new things coming still. We see the mission of Messiah being restored in the work that we do to help others in need. We can celebrate because we who are gathered here still worship together as a people of faith who rely on each other and help one another. We can celebrate because God has been and will still do something new through us. For God does not abandon God's children. God does not abandon God's children in the wilderness of our daily lives. This place, Messiah, the people here gathered, is nourished in word and sacrament. Messiah is both oasis in the desert and receiver of living water. See, God is still doing new things here. May we live into the grace that is present in God's continued creating work. Amen.